Now, as far as the planets being inhabited, Mars, the population, I think, is 660 million at this time. Most of them live underground. When Bob Lazar worked up at the test site, he was shown photos of Cydonia region, very close-up photos of the Cydonia, and those pyramids had doors and windows. There was no doubt about it. I mean, it was very clear. Bob and I went down to JPL and met with the head of I'm thinking it was Mariner, but I'm not sure, I forget the guy's name. But we asked him, they said, were there any more photos taken of Cydonia other than the two ones that Hoagland and Dave Pietro have? And mm-hmm. he said no. And then Bob said, did you ever take the spacecraft to a lower orbit? And the guy said, yes, but we didn't take any pictures. Now, here's how secrecy works. Here's the guy that's the head of the program, and he knows that it went into a lower orbit, but he didn't know that they took extra pictures. And Bob saw the extra pictures that they saw of Cydonia. That's how compartmentalization works. You might have a certain clearance, but that doesn't mean you get to know everything at that level.
Now, and I want to make sure that I understand this too, John. When we say all planets in the solar system, are you talking about just the ones that are close to Earth, or are we talking about Jupiter,
Venus,
Neptune?
Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, Mercury. Mercury is not as hot as everybody thinks it is. And I don't know whether they live above ground, but I believe that there's people from each one of these. And we're fed so much BS. You know, there's so much methane that NASA puts out. You know, I think they generate the methane themselves that they say that all these planets are covered with. But it's just a scam. It's a ruse so that we don't think that there's any, that we're the only ones there. But there certainly are people on Venus. There certainly are on Mars. Interesting thing, I did a remote viewing class. I went to a class with Angela Thompson-Smith, and it was very interesting. I was shocked. I went to the remote viewing course because I was interested in it, but what I wanted to know is I'm not the least bit psychic. I can't tell when the phone's going to ring. I can't tell when the doorbell's going to ring. I don't know when anything's going to happen. I wanted to see if I could do it. And I'm telling you, George, after the second day, some of the stuff I was doing absolutely shocked me.
Sure.
But at one point, each member of the class got to task the other members into doing something or going somewhere. So I tasked the group when it was my turn to go to Venus. Now, I didn't front load them with anything, any of my ideas or anything, just said, you know, the target is Venus. And so then there was the normal cool down period, then they go, then they come back, then cool down again, and then the thing right out of their mouth was every single one of them said, my gosh, that's beautiful. I had no idea, you know. And then one of them said, boy, that's like South Africa. You know, it was green and beautiful and just all kinds of, you know, beautiful scenery there. It's not like, you know, the sulfuric acid covered 90 bars of pressure volcanic spewed. I think that came about in the late 50s. When it was decided that we should not know that there's anybody on Venus. And I can imagine a general sitting around with his staff and saying, now, folks, gentlemen, we have to make Venus as unpalatable as possible. I need some ideas here. And so one guy says, well, how about we make the atmosphere sulfuric acid? Great, great, that's good. Let's have some more ideas here. Well, how about we make
it's too hot.
How about we make it to all volcanic lava? Great, great. Come on. Let's think outside the box here. Come on. Let's hear some more ideas. Well, how about we make it 100 bars of pressure? And the general says, 100 bars sounds a little phony. How about 90 bars? And they says, yeah, okay, that's good. We got a planet here. Now what else? And they said, they probably said, well, why don't we say that everybody that prints a picture of Venus, we use the false color of gold or yellow. That'll get everybody to thinking, you know, that it's molten lava. And that's exactly what happened. Now we're supposed to believe all that? I can't believe it. How did the Venera land? Did the parachute, you know, landing and floating a parachute down at 90 bars of pressure would be like floating a parachute in the ocean. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Why, John, with my very open mind, and it is, and you've heard the program, and you know I have an open mind about a lot of things, why can't I accept this, that there are other humans or beings much like us on planets in our solar system? I'm holding back on it.
It's just too much to accept. And, you know, it takes years, to get into this stuff. And I can tell when I talk to a person, I'm so tempted to tell them everything I know. And I can tell the instant that I've gone too far because their eyes glaze over. And you can tell, oh, that's it. That's as far as he's going to go. And the mind just shuts down. They don't want to hear it. They just can't accept it anymore. And the only reason it's easy for me to accept is I've been in it so long. And I've seen so many things happen, and, you know, absolutely nothing surprises me. I was just taking a check on some of the forums on the Internet, and the big soul machine on the moon, which we refer to as the tower that Richard found, I mean, that shuts a lot of people down. They just disappear. They don't want to hear that. It's just too far out for them.
Well, we've got this new fast blast system that we've had for a couple of years, and it gives me instant feedback from people. So I've got some questions that I can roll off for you from some of our listeners as well. And then next hour, we'll just open up the phone lines for you, John.
Sounds good. And then briefly, George, I just want to say that on the Fantastic Forum last September, I posted a thread called I intend to expose NASA's biggest lie. And that thread, in a period of less than 3 months, attracted 65,000 views.
Oh.
And what I did is, instead of just telling them what the lie was, I made them research the information that led me to find out what the lie was. And I made them research Neil Armstrong's speech at the White House, 25th anniversary. I made them research the neutral point between the Earth and the Moon. I made them research Alan Bean's comment that the sky was as black as a pair of black patent leather shoes. I made him research Edgar Mitchell's comment that he just can't remember what happened on the moon, all that stuff. And at the end, I tell exactly what the biggest lie was, and the biggest lie was that the sky is not black on the moon during the daytime. It's blue.
Just like it is here.
Yep, just like it is here, just like it is on Mars.
Huh.
The sky is blue on Mars. It's not red.
I've always heard that when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon, he saw huge alien craft on the other side of a crater.
He did, and the closest he ever came to acknowledging that, you know, Neil Armstrong's only made about 3 speeches since he came back.
Yeah, he had a little conference a few months ago, but you're right.
And I wanted to tell you something. There's a very interesting notation in a book here, and the book is called The Moon Landings. And it's by Reginald Turnell. And on page 239, there's a very interesting sentence. And it talks about Neil and just before they blast off. And it says, quote, "He may have had in mind the 12 men already sealed inside the lunar receiving laboratory, ready to share with the crew their strict 21 days isolation, starting from the moment when it was hoped they would lift safely off from the moon." Now think about that. We never heard about 12 guys in the lunar receiving laboratory. Who were those guys? Those were the guys that told Neil and Buzz and Michael that they weren't going to tell what they saw, you know, on the moon. And it probably spent 21 days, and there was probably some fisticuffs going on. But whatever happened there, Neil never said anything other than he did the one talk after they got out of the lunar receiving laboratory.
And that was it for years.
At the 25th anniversary, and then he did the one at 60 Minutes. And
right.
Basically what happened is, when he was just, you know, a couple hundred feet from landing, there was a couple of saucers right there. And he had to, he couldn't pull up, but he actually extended where he was going to land, so none of the cameras got the pictures of the saucers there. And I thought it was really interesting on 60 Minutes. When they're interviewing, I think it was Mike Wallace, and he brings this up. He didn't have to bring that up. He could have brought about up anything else, but he said, yeah, that field of boulders was really big. And for those of us that know, you know, what that field of boulders was, you know, was a field of boulders, a bunch of saucers. And he had to go to a little place a little farther under, and that's why he burned so much fuel.